RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin. As usual in today's edition, we are going to bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus also news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian House of Representatives passes bill on Indonesia-Singapore sea border agreement. Researcher says Indonesia must be able to manage environmental resources. Indonesia to increase oil palm plants. Now, the news in details. The House of Representatives has officially passed a bill on the Indonesia-Singapore border agreement during a plenary session on Thursday. The bill was a ratification of an agreement between Indonesia and Singaporean foreign ministers on the state borders, signed on September 3, 2014. House Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah, who led the session, officiated the approval after hearing a majority of approval from lawmakers. The agreement between Indonesia and Singapore completes two previous agreements signed in 1973 and 2009. Indonesia and Singapore have agreed on the sea borderline between the two nations of 67.3 kilometers or 36.33 sea miles in the Singapore Strait. Water as the source of life for humans must be managed optimally, so as continuing the water availability for generation in the future. It was said by researchers of geotechnology from Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Rahman Juwansa, at the inauguration ceremony of LIPI research professor at LIPI Auditorium in Jakarta on Thursday. Rahman also said, natural disasters such as flood are caused by the weak and uncontrolled water management.
Masalah dan bencana yang terkait air dan lahan merupakan persoalan penting yang sedang kita hadapi di negara kita.
Kasus-kasus problems and disaster related to water and land are one of important issues faced by Indonesia today. Water scarcity, water quality, and disasters such as flood and forest fires becomes routine events that happens every year. The cause of the disaster is because water resource and the land are explored excessively and beyond the support capacity. To sustainably manage the land and environment in a region needs detailed and comprehensive information about the availability of water resources. The information must be prepared by not only taking into account the dynamic factors that influence the nature, but also by simplifying the complexity of their interaction.
Moreover, Juwansah Rahman also said the protection and rehabilitation programs related to land and water done by government must be more measurable. Rahman moreover said, pressure on water resources will be increasing and complex because the number of people is also increasing. The Indonesian government is expected to continue to increase the planting of oil palm in an effort to develop paper industry. Oil palm has been able to provide benefits for Indonesia. It was stated by an environmental researcher of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Mirta Karina Sonjoriorini, at the inauguration ceremony of the Institute's research professor at LIPI Auditorium, Jakarta on Thursday. She said palm oil manufacturing residues can be used for making paper.
Selulosa adalah komponen utama dinding sel tanaman, terutama terdapat di dalam tanaman berkayu, Tetapi selulosa dapat pula diperoleh dari sumber lain.
Cellulose is the main component of plant cell walls, especially in woody plants, but cellulose can also be obtained from other sources, from a variety of non-timber plants, oil palm, empty fruit punch. Waste palm oil manufacturing process has the potential to be developed as a source of cellulose. The 11 million hectares of palm plantation in Indonesia and productions to 6 million tons of palm oil will produce about 6.6 million tons of oil palm empty fruit punch as waste, and at least 1.8 million tons of cellulose produced from oil palm empty fruit punch. Palm oil is one of the excellent crops as foreign exchange, so the plantation will be continuously done with the potential of increasing oil palm empty fruit punch and cellulose.
Mirta Karina Sancoyorini, ulang. Mirta Karina Sancoyorini also said cellulose from wood and non-timber resource has long been used by paper industry. According to Mirta, in the future, the technology which is often been used for paper making process is expected to be improving with the use of harmless chemicals. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Jorang, has praised the efforts to reactivate the European Union-Indonesian Legislator Friendship Group, which aims to develop further partnerships between the two parties. Jorang told the Jakarta Post in a statement on Wednesday that the revival of the Indonesia Friendship Group in the European Parliament is a significant contribution to better political and people-to-people contacts between the European Union and Indonesia. The Friendship Group is a forum where Indonesian and European legislators can exchange views and experiences on cross-cutting issues of common concern. Currently, the group has 22 members from the European Parliament, with more expected to join. The agreement on the revival of the dormant legislator cooperation mechanism was signed during a working visit by Indonesian delegates led by Foreign Minister Retno Ape Marsudi to Brussels last month. The House, together with the People's Consultative Assembly, is expected to form another friendship group as the counterpart to the European-led mechanism signed in Brussels. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Jakarta City-owned PT Mass Rapid Transit MRT Jakarta will fast-track the MRT project next year. PT MRT Jakarta President Director William P. Sabandar said that the entire construction works will complete by 2017. The company is aiming to complete 36% of the project next year. As November 30, the company has completed 60.22% of works, comprising 47.2% of completions of elevated structures and 77.8% of completion of underground structures. He noted that the company targeted 36% of completion next year. Because the operation is expected to commence by February 2019, William said that construction work must complete 1 year before operation. Accordingly, the company expects that conclude them by July 2018. During the one-year period, the company will commission the MRT project. Indonesia and Hungary have agreed to reinforce cooperation in the fields of education, culture, and investment. Efforts to strengthen cooperation were raised in a discussion on strengthening Indonesia-Hungarian cooperation in education, culture, and investment with Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia, Judith Nemeth Pagy, at the University of Janabadra in Yogyakarta on Wednesday. Coordinator of Private University Coordination Board Region 5, Bambang Supriyadi, noted, with the attendance of Hungary's ambassador to Indonesia, the discussion on strengthening Indonesia-Hungarian cooperation in education, culture, and investment has officially opened. According to Bambang, the cooperation between private universities under Kopertis Region 5 with universities in Hungary has existed since 2013 and is still evident. He added that there were 9 private universities at that time. The government was able to develop cooperation easily because it was supported by the Hungarian ambassador. In fact, Bambang pointed out since 2013, a number of private universities from Hungary have already twice visited Yogyakarta and discussed various cooperation programs. State-owned telecommunication company PT Telekomunikasi Indonesia has launched a city guide application that features tourism information on several cities in Indonesia. Among the places of interest included in the high city application are hotels, shopping centers, restaurants,
healthcare, and financial services providers, places of worship, transportation facilities, travel agent, public services, and online radio, according to dailysocial.id. As for the cities, users can expect to explore Bandung, Yogyakarta, Bali, Lombok, Solo, Medan, and Padang via the application. The application also features the trip plan service to help its users arrange their trips, booking services, and viewing points of interest information that includes reviews in the form of ride applications, photos, and videos. Available for iPhone and Android devices, Hi City is also expected to be able to record the number of tourist arrivals in certain cities and act as promotion tool and platform to track the users' reviews of local destinations. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuga Kusumawati. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Ending Human Tragedy in Aleppo. Aleppo has been ravaged. The war has ravaged the second largest city in Syria after Damascus, killing about 500,000 people. 11 million more are assumed to flee elsewhere. The regime of Bashar al-Assad government has stressed that Aleppo has fallen and controlled by the government. If so, has the suffering and tears of the population Aleppo ended? Analysts say the statement that Aleppo has already controlled by the government does not mean the end of the civil war that has devastated the city. The war in Aleppo is not just a battle between the government's military and the group, which is often called the rebels. Syrian conflicts is a battle that has become the arena of struggle for the influence of the United States and the West with Russia and its allies, namely Iran. With the support of Russia and Iran as well, Bashar al-Assad finally pounded Aleppo and declared the city had fallen and controlled by the government. Russia is likely to be to risk his positions by the crisis in Syria, especially Aleppo. The country wants to show its dominance and equal itself with the United States. In that context, the Syrian war and efforts to maintain and seize Aleppo is no longer just a civil war in Syria, but has expanded into a global geopolitical issue. The war in Syria and the humanitarian tragedy that hits Aleppo is no longer a fight against the government of Bashar al-Assad, inspired by the Arab Springs in 2011. Observers noted the enmity in Aleppo. In addition to involving large countries, it is further complicated by sectarians and ethnic conflicts in the country, for example, between Shiites and Sunnis, and Kurds and Christians. Only a very human consciousness may be a solution. So it seems the war will still not be over. So what should be done? What needs attention are civilians, including children, who are the victims. The Syrian government must be urged to allow the humanitarian aids enter the region and conduct reliefs to the citizens. This humanitarian catastrophe cannot be tolerated. In line with that, the hostile party is called upon to find a way to end the fighting. That ends commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from an event which occurred on December 16, 1950. Cyprus' struggle against British colonization was started. On December 16, 1950, it was began the nation's revival of Cyprus against British rule. Cyprus is an island covering an area of 9,251 square kilometers in the Mediterranean Sea. In the 16th century, the island was ruled by the Ottoman Empire, and in 1925, Britain officially made the island as its colony. Since then, civil war occurred between the ethnic Turkish population of Cyprus with Greek population who wanted the unification of Cyprus and Greece. In 1959, it was held the Greek-Turkish Conference in Zurich and London, which approved the independence of Cyprus. On August 16, 1960, Cyprus was officially gained independence with the Republic as a form of government. On December 16, 1965, military education of the Indonesian military forces is integrated into the Indonesian Armed Forces Academy was established. Since 1945 to 1964, military educational institution in Indonesia was held separately by each dimension. The Army organizes the National Military Academy, the Navy organizes Naval Academy, the Air Force held the Air Force Academy, the Police organizes the Police Academy. On December 16, 1965, all of the Indonesian Academy were integrated into the Indonesian Armed Forces or Military Academy by decree of President of the Republic of Indonesia as the Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces, also served as Commander of the Supreme Operations Command No. 185, 1965. Therefore, former institutions of military education were abolished. Coaching and management of Armed Forces Academy was conducted by the General Commander of the Armed Forces Academy. After the passing of the 1998 reform, since April 1, 1999, the police separated from the Armed Forces Academy, so it changed the name to National Armed Forces Academy of Indonesia, which consisted of three dimensions. And we conclude with the next event which occurred on December 16, 1991, Kazakhstan proclaimed its independence. At the beginning of the 18th century, Kazakhstan was ruled by Russia. When the Communist Revolution won in Russia, then Soviet Union established, Kazakhstan became one of other 15 countries that joined the Soviet Union since 1920. Along with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Kazakhstan proclaimed its independence on December 16, 1991, and became a republic state. Nursultan Nazarbayev as its first president. Kazakhs is the largest ethnic who occupy the territory of Kazakhstan and being descendant of the tribe of Turks and Mongols. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Today's edition of Focus is entitled Indonesia and Iran Agree to Strengthen Cooperation of Oil and Gas Trade. Listener, Indonesian government opened a new era in its cooperation with Iran. The cooperation which became the wish between President Joko Widodo and his counterpart Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, focusing in the sector of energy, oil and gas. This was said by President Joko Widodo after he met Iranian President Hassan Rouhani in Jamhuri Palace, Sadabad, Iran on Wednesday, December 14. President Joko Widodo ensured that the cooperation in that sector will give benefit for Indonesia, where Indonesia can implement the price efficiency to the purchasing of liquefied petroleum gas LPG from Iran. President Joko Widodo said that the purchasing LPG from Iran to Indonesia in 2017 amounting to 500,000 metric tons. President Joko Widodo moreover said that Iranian government also has a commitment to invest in Indonesia, particularly in the construction of oil refinery and mobile power generation. Meanwhile, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani stated his commitment to cooperate with Indonesia. Hassan Rouhani said Iranian government also welcomed the proposal of the Indonesian government related to the management of oil field in Iran. According to President Hassan Rouhani, Iran expressed its readiness to participate in the construction of power plants, dams, drains, as well as a variety of technical assistances to Indonesia. Of course, Indonesia can also be active and participate in the oil and gas industry in Iran. On the occasion, the Iranian government also considered the cooperation in the energy sector between the two countries is a strategic relationship. President Rouhani moreover said he also expressed readiness to meet the needs of Indonesia in the field of energy. Iran is ready to meet the needs of Indonesia in the field of oil, gas, LPG, and a byproduct of the industry. In addition to the cooperation in the energy sector, Iran and Indonesia also agreed to increase bilateral trade that experienced a downward trend for the last 5 years. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi explained, in 2015, trade volumes between the two countries only reached $300 million, whereas in 2011, trade figures of Iran and Indonesia reached $1.8 billion. President Joko Widodo will make a breakthrough to increase abundant export production of the country, such as paper, coffee, and cocoa. Listener, that was the focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The House of Representatives has officially passed a bill on the Indonesia-Singapore border agreement during a plenary session on Thursday. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Jorang, has praised the efforts to reactivate the European Union-Indonesian Legislative Friendship Group, which aims to develop further partnership between the two parties. Jakarta City-owned PT Mass Rapid Transit MRT Jakarta will fast-track the MRT project next year. Indonesia and Hungary have agreed to reinforce cooperation in the fields of education, culture, and investment. State-owned telecommunication company PT Telekomunikasi Indonesia has launched a city guide application that features tourism information on several cities in Indonesia. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to travel to Bali. So stay tuned. Listener, based on data from the travel booking site TripAdvisor, throughout September to October 2016, Sindu Market became a destination on the rise. The data is collected in the Attractions Trend Index, which combines the destination and activity that was popular in Southeast Asia. In total, there are 15 destinations on the rise in the Southeast Asia. Four of which are located in Indonesia, precisely in Bali and Lombok. Of the 15 destinations, the Sindu Market in Sanur, Bali occupies the first position with the increase of traffic by 242%. On the issue of today's Indonesian wonder, we invite you to know better the Sindu Market. Listener, Sindu Market is located on the Danau Tamblingan Street, Sanur, Bali. The market is also known as Friendly and Fresh Market because the people in this market are always friendly, though you are bargaining. All the staples that are sold are fresh products. Sindu Market stands on an area of 51 acres to accommodate 361 traders, that most of them are local people. From the total, 150 were accommodated in the stalls and 78 shops occupied, while the rest are seasonal traders. The kiosks laid out in accordance with the type of merchandise being sold so that the community is easier to shop. This market is organized into three main kiosks. Kiosk A for the traders who sell equipments of ceremony and fruits. Kiosk B for grocery traders and Balinese snacks, while kiosk C is for traders who sell meat and fish. The market, which has been revitalized, generally visited by local residents frequently, but in the Sindu Market, there are a lot of foreign tourists shopping for their basic needs. Most of the foreign tourists shopping at the Sindu Market to hunt local fruits that exist only in Indonesia, such as mangosteen, snake fruit, and durian. Sindu Market is not a kind of traditional market which open all days. Around 12 until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the market closed, so you are allowed to shop in the market before 1 o'clock. Listener, it will feel different atmosphere when you come to the Sindu Market on the afternoon. The area around Sindu Market will return bustling prior to 6 o'clock. This time is different from the atmosphere in the morning. Sindu Market turns to change to become food center in the night. Most of foods are typical foods of Bali and Java. No need to worry, there are available all halal. Snacks in the market is quite delicious. No wonder many tourists who visit the market enjoy a variety of culinaries at Sindu Market. Moreover, the price is also quite affordable. Unfortunately, the snacks market is open only until 10 p.m. So, I advise you to come to the market before 10 p.m. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sindu Market. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, the role of teacher is really important for the national development. Teacher always do their best to implement dignity for the nation and could determine the success of education in the country. Moreover, teacher also build a foundation to prepare students in developing the academic potency in the future. As an appreciation to all teachers in Indonesia or those who stay abroad, the Indonesian government decided November 25th as the National Teachers' Day. Today's edition of Miscellany, I will inform you about the National Teacher Day. The question is, why the 25th of November choose as the National Teacher Day? To answer the question, let's go back to the history of the establishment of Indonesian Teachers Association. In colonialism era, the Indigenous Teachers Organization was established in 1912 with the name the Netherlands Teacher Association. The organization is non-profitable that consists of village teacher, auxiliary teachers, principal, and school supervisors. At that time, the teacher struggle is no longer about fate, not about right equality with the Netherlands, but still struggling to independence and shouted Merdeka. In 1932, the name then changed into Indonesian Teachers Association. But when Japanese occupied Indonesia, all organizations with the name Indonesia were forbidden, schools were closed, the Teachers Association can no longer run their activities. After Indonesia's independence on August 17, 1945, the proclamation spirit has fired the implementation of Indonesian Teachers Congress on November 24 to 25, 1945 in Surakarta. Through this Congress, all teachers' organization in Indonesia has agreed to be abolished. Based on the Presidential's Decree No. 78-1994, the Indonesian government dedicated that November 25th is decided as the National Teachers' Day. The theme of the National Teacher Day commemoration is Guru dan Tenaga Kependidikan Mulia Karena Karya, for teachers and education personnel noble for work, as the theme of last year's National Teachers' Day. The theme still relevant with the government policy to appreciate teachers and academicians toward justice, prosperity, and civilized people amid global people. The peak of National Teachers' Day 2016 will be held on November 27 in Sentul International Convention Center, Sentul, Bogor, West Java. President Joko Widodo also planned to be present, which will be attended by 10,000 teachers. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Ayu Ting Ting, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. She gained her popularity in Indonesian dangdut industry with her song Alamat Palsu or False Address. Despite a long popularity delay after the actual release in 2006, Alamat Palsu became a hit in 2011. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Alamat Palsu. Happy listening.
Yeah.
listeners, we've just listened to the song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Alamat Palsu. The song reflects a story that commonly happens in the community deceived by her lover. Ayu Ting Ting's presence gave a new color in Indonesian dangdut industry. Her pretty face combined with a trendy Korean-style appearance made her busy with lots of invitations to perform in various places in Indonesia. Ayu Ting Ting was the 2013 Indonesian most popular female dangdut singer by one of Indonesia's commercial TV stations, SCTV, in 2013 SCTV Award. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Minyak Wangi. Listener, let's talk a little bit about Ayu Ting Ting. She was born in June 20, 1992 as Ayu Rosmalina. Ayu Ting Ting is considered being lucky that her simply and easily listening songs are accepted very well by the Indonesian dangdut lovers and turned out to be hits, such as her song Sambalado, released in 2016. Sambalado is a Minang word for chili sauce made from red or green pepper, usually consumed by Indonesian people to add more appetite in their dishes. The song Sambalado reflects someone's love, which tastes really nice in the beginning but leaves a spicy bite at the end. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to a song by Ayu Ting Ting entitled Sambalado. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa lagi.
Sambala, sambala, bala, sambalado, terasa pedas, terasa panas. Sambala, sambala, bala, sambalado, mulut bergetar, lidah bergoyang, cintamu seperti sambalado. Rasanya cuma di mulut saja, janjimu seperti sambalado, enaknya cuma di lidah saja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz,
9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.